Hey, Lake Center Baptist Church and all of our friends and all of our families and all of the guests, I just want to say welcome to our first ever online worship service here on this page. Just by way of reminder, of course, we are meeting this morning at 10:45 here, and we will also be doing the exact same thing next Sunday morning, March the 29th at 10:45 as well. And the closer that we get to April the 5th, we will let you know if we are able to gather here in this place. And I am hoping and I am praying that the Lord makes a way for us to be able to gather as the people of God, to be able to worship and to sing His praises and to fellowship with one another and to be able to study the Word of God together. Also, by way of reminder, all of our Wednesday night activities through April the 1st have been canceled as well. I want to say this before we get into just a message this morning, that if you need anything at all, maybe you need someone to run to the grocery store for you, or you need some help at your home, or anything like that, please let us help you. I want to give you a few phone numbers here. You can contact the church at 918-257-5202, or you can contact myself, 918-527-1112, or you can contact our student pastor, Tyson Murphy, at 918-541-0962. And we just want to be able to help you in any way that we possibly can. You might be asking yourself this question, what should I be doing at this time? And I just want to encourage you to continue to be the church. We understand that the church is not a building. The church, of course, is the people of God. So let's just continue to reach out and to serve and to help each other and to help our neighbors during this time. I also want to say thank you so much for your continued giving and your continued generosity here at the church. Of course, we still have bills to pay. We're still doing our best to perform ministry. We still have staff to take care of and to compensate. And there are several ways, of course, that you can continue giving. Of course, you can give online. Go to our website, www.lakecenter.church, and you can click on giving, and you can give that way. You can, of course, mail a check to the church, or you can bring by your gifts and your offerings to the church office anytime, Monday through Thursday. What I want to do right now before we open up the Word of God together is I just want to lead us in a time of prayer. Of course, we desperately need God during this time. We need God all the time. So what I want to do right now is I just want to invite you to close your eyes at this moment. Just close your eyes at this moment and just be still for a few moments. And I want to lead you to pray in several ways. And we're going to pray specifically for the coronavirus and all the things that we've been facing as a culture, as a society, as a nation, as a world right now. And I'm going to lead you to pray these ways. Number one, pray this way. Would you pray that the coronavirus would be contained and that it would start to decline? Would you just pray that right now? Would you pray for those who are infected to be healed? Pray right now for people to have the peace of Jesus instead of fear, instead of confusion. Pray for peace. Would you do that? Would you pray for wisdom for our government and health officials as they lead our communities and our nations? Would you pray for wisdom for them as the Word of God calls us to do so? Also, would you pray for protection of our healthcare workers and our missionaries around the world? Would you pray for their protection right now as they are serving the sick? As they are working in these places where there are so many people who are hurting and who are sick and so many people who are infected by this virus? And ultimately, would you pray for the gospel to spread and for people to turn to Jesus during this time? And God, we come before your throne this morning. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that this virus would be contained. And Lord, that we would start to see a decline in this virus. Lord, would you do that? God, you have the power to do that. Lord, we ask and pray as well that for those who are infected, Lord, that they would be healed. God, would you heal them? God, we ask and pray that people would have peace, that people would have the peace of Jesus instead of fear, God, instead of confusion. God, we ask and pray that you would give wisdom to our government and health officials as they lead our communities and as they lead our nations, Father. Would you give them wisdom, Lord? God, we ask and pray as well that you would protect our healthcare workers and our doctors and our nurses and our missionaries, Father, all around the world who are serving the sick at this very time. Would you protect them from this virus, Lord? And God, ultimately, we pray that the gospel would spread, Lord, and that people would turn their lives and give their lives to Jesus Christ. God, we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope that you do, I want to encourage you to go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This is one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. And I say that about every single scripture that I preach, but it really is an amazing psalm. And this is a psalm that we looked at this past summer. And I believe that it is very appropriate for us right now. You see, there will be seasons in our lives whenever we do question the nearness and the presence of God. But this amazing psalm, it reminds us that no matter what we might face on this earth, it reminds us that our God is in the details. It reminds us that God is present. It reminds us that God is with us, whether we feel him or not. First of all, we see in Psalm 139, we see the omniscience of God. The omniscience of God. And this word omniscience, it can sound like a very big word, but in all reality, it's a very simple word. The word omniscience, it simply means that God is all-knowing, or God is all-knowing. And you can think of it like this, that God is intimately aware of every single detail of your life. And this psalm is commonly attributed to King David. And this psalm tells us that King David, he was going through something. And while we don't know exactly what King David was facing, the language that is used in this psalm, it points to some sort of attack. It points to some sort of trial. He is pleading for justice to be done. He says in verse 1, and look at it with me in your copy of the Word of God. He says in verse 1, he says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me." And a better translation for this word searched is the word examined. In other words, King David is saying, God, you examine what is going on inside of me. He's saying, God, you know what I'm facing. God, you know what I'm dealing with. And the same is true for you today. You see, God examines every single detail of your life. Or God, he doesn't miss a thing. He knows exactly what you are facing right now. He knows exactly what you will face in the future. You see, our God, he examines it all. He sees it all. He sees exactly what is happening with this pandemic that is plaguing our world. Our God, he is omniscient. He sees it all. And then he says at the beginning of verse 2, King David says, God, you know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. And this is an amazing truth. You see, every time you sit down, every single time that you stand up, our God knows about it. Our God sees it, and God sees you right now as you are in your homes in this quarantine. And then King David says in the latter part of verse 2, he says, God, you discern my thoughts from afar. God, you understand my thoughts. You see, when your mind is racing, and when you don't even know what to think or how to feel about all of this stuff that's going on, and that might be true for you. It's true for me. I don't understand it all. You see, God still understands your thoughts. He understands what you're thinking right now. In verse 3, King David says, you search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all of my ways. You see, not only is God intimately aware of your sitting, not only is he intimately aware of your standing, God is intimately aware every single time that you lay down. Maybe you're lonely during this time, and you were laying down with loneliness. You were laying down with tears in your eyes. Please understand that God is intimately aware of that. When you lay down and you're not knowing what tomorrow holds, you don't know what the world is going to look like tomorrow, guess what? God is intimately aware of that. He is intimately acquainted with all of your ways, even when you are quarantined at home alone. Look at verse 4 with me. He says, "Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together." You see, before you even cry out in prayer to God, He knows everything that you are going to say. Isn't that an amazing thought to think about? Before you even say what you're going to say to God, He knows what you're going to say. And this is a reflection of what it's going to be like in heaven. In Isaiah 65, the prophet Isaiah is prophesying about what the future kingdom of God is going to be like. And God says in Isaiah 65, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear." You see, before there is a word on your tongue, our God knows about it. And God already has an answer. Look at verse 5 with me. He says, "You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me." And another way of thinking about this great verse is like this. Back in front, you enclose me. You put your hand upon me. You see, not only is God intimately aware of every single detail of your life, He is all around you. He is with you. And then notice how King David ends this section in verse 6. He says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high." He says, "I cannot attain it." In other words, King David is saying, this is beyond my understanding. That God knows me this well. He's saying, this is wonderful. He is saying, I cannot get over the fact that you know me so well and that you love me anyway. And the fact that our God this morning is omniscient and intimately aware of every single detail of our lives, and He loves us anyways, this should amaze us today. It should leave us in great awe. It should leave us with a sense of peace. It should leave us with a sense of comfort. It should leave us with a sense of joy, knowing that God does not miss a detail of our lives. He sees everything. Next, in this passage of Scripture, verses 7 through 12, we see the omnipresence of God. And again, that's a very big word, but another way of thinking about the omnipresence of God is this: God's presence is constantly with me. He sees everything, and His presence is constantly with me. Look at what King David says in verse 7. He says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence?" You see, there is no place where you have been that God was not already there. And there is no place that you can go where God is not already there. You see, God is even with you in your home today. Whether you feel Him or not, our God is there with you. Verse 8, King David says, "If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." And this word Sheol, it is a reference to hell. And David is not saying that he has access to go and to make his bed in hell. What he is doing here is he is comparing the extreme of the extremes. He is saying essentially that God is sovereign over every place. He is saying that God is sovereign over heaven. And he is also saying that God is sovereign over hell. And if our God is sovereign over heaven and He is sovereign over hell, how much more is our God sovereign over every single place on the earth? And if He is sovereign over every single place on the earth, He is also sovereign over every single situation on the earth. He is even sovereign over this pandemic, the coronavirus that is all over the earth. He is sovereign over all. Verse 9, King David says, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." Again, there is no place where God is not already there. In any and every place, the hand of God can lead you. In any and every place, the hand of God will be there to hold you. Look at verse 11. He says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. And this morning, if you're feeling dark because of all that is going on, listen, that darkness is nothing to God. That darkness is nothing to God. God is with you. God is light. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, God is everywhere. He is light in the darkness. In Jeremiah, God said, am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in the secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? You see, our God is light. Our God is everywhere. He is with you today. Our God is omnipresent. And lastly, we see in this amazing passage of Scripture, the omnipotence of God. The omnipotence of God. And again, this is not a big word. It's a very simple word that simply means that our God is all powerful. Remember at the beginning of this message, I said that this psalm tells us that King David, that he was going through something. And again, we don't know exactly what he was going through. The language points to some sort of attack. He was going through some sort of a trial. He was pleading for justice to be done. And this is why he was saying, God, you see what's going on. God, you are omniscient. He is saying, God, you see what's going on. You are with me. You are omnipresent. And then David gets really honest with God. And you can skip down and look at verses 19 through 22 with me. He says in his honesty, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? He says, I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. So David is going through something with someone. And what he's doing now is he is ultimately telling God how he feels about it. David, he apparently had some enemies who were against the one true God. And David is just simply being honest. He is saying about God's enemies. He is saying, God, take care of your enemies. God, slay them. God, make them depart from me. God, they are speaking against you. God, they are taking your name in vain. God, they are rising up against you. God, they are my enemies. And basically, David is saying, God, in your power, take care of these enemies. Take care of my enemies. And did you know that this morning that you can pray the exact same type of prayer to God? Remember, God is already intimately acquainted with your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking anyways, so you might as well be honest with God. As David prayed, God, slay the wicked, he's just being honest. Did you know that you can openly pray this type of way to God? You can be honest with God in your prayers. You see, God in his power, he can handle anything. He can handle what you're facing. He can handle this pandemic that is plaguing our world. You can pray things like this. God, would you slay this virus? God, would you help me during this time? God, would you help me to trust you during this time? God, would you use the coronavirus to bring people to yourself? We can pray open and honest prayers to God. Look at verses 23 and 24. King David says, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And these verses, again, are tied to the verses about King David's enemies. David is saying, God, search my heart and see if there is anything inside of my heart that is like the heart of my enemies. And he is saying, and if there is, God, lead me in your ways. Lead me in your ways. God, show me what to do. And this is a great prayer for us to consider this morning. As we are quarantined to our homes, as we've been asked to practice social distancing, this is a great prayer for us to pray. Things like this, God, You know all things about me. And God, during these days of silence, during this time of quarantine, would you show me anything in my heart that is dishonoring to you? And God, if there is, would you just help me? God, lead me in your ways. I want to follow you. I don't want anything else to be my God. I want you to be my God. So God, search my heart. Again, this psalm, it shows us that our God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. It shows us that he knows everything. He is omniscient. It shows us that our God is constantly with us. He is omnipresent. And ultimately, this psalm points us to Christ. This psalm points us to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And God ultimately shows us that he is with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Quoting the prophet Isaiah, Matthew said, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. You see, God, he shows us tangibly that he is with us by sending his Son, Jesus Christ. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, as a baby. And this Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he lived a perfect life. And he went to a cross for your sin and my sin. 1 John 4:9, John says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." You see, the love of God was made known to us by him sending his Son, Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, which simply means God with us. And why did God do this? Why did God send his Son? Why did God reveal his love and his presence through his Son, Jesus Christ? And I've already said it. He did this for sin. He did this for your sin. He did this for my sin. He wanted to show us tangibly that he was with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, he loves you and I so much that he sent his only begotten Son to ultimately die on a cross for your sin and for my sin, and to pay the penalty for our sin. And he did this so that you and I might have a relationship with him. So God reveals himself to us ultimately through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So what does all this mean for us? How can we apply these wonderful truths found in Psalm 139 to our lives? Number one, I think this text calls us to, first and foremost, receive the salvation of God through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You see, whenever you receive the salvation offered by God through his Son, Jesus Christ, by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and submitting to his Lordship, the Bible tells us this, that you will never be alone again. Whenever you submit your life to him, you will never be alone again. God will be with you forever and ever on this earth, but ultimately, most importantly, forever and ever in eternity in heaven. But the Bible tells us this, that whenever we do confess Christ as Lord, that his Spirit comes to live inside of us today, meaning that God is with us today. He is inside of us today. Ephesians 1 tells us this, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." This means that whenever you submit your life to Christ and you cry out to him for the forgiveness of sin, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. Therefore, you will never be alone again. You might feel lonely in your home, but ultimately, the Spirit of God is living inside of you whenever you place your faith and your hope and your trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sin. So this text, it calls us to cry out to Jesus Christ for salvation. Number two, I believe that this text calls us to trust the sovereignty of God. It calls us to trust the sovereignty of God. You see, whenever you submit to the Lordship of Christ and you walk under the umbrella of his authority, you can absolutely trust the sovereignty of God. And you can trust the sovereignty of God over your life. Psalm 115 tells us this, "Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases." Lamentations 3 tells us this, "Who has spoken and it came to pass unless the Lord has commanded it?" You see, we trust the sovereignty of God during this time. While we may not understand it, we can absolutely trust his sovereignty. Charles Spurgeon says this, "I believe that every particle of dust that dances in the sunbeam does not move an atom more or less than God wishes." Again, we trust our God during this time. We trust his power. We trust the fact that he is with us. We trust the fact that he knows all things. Therefore, we trust his authority, and we can trust his authority over our lives during this time. Next, and lastly, I believe that this text, it calls us to rest in the nearness of our God. It calls us to rest in the nearness of our God. I just want to encourage you this morning, whether you feel him or not, whether you understand all that's going on or not, we can trust our God. We can rest in the fact that he is all-knowing, that he sees everything, that he is all-powerful, and we can rest in the fact that he is with us today. Again, King David said, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." Again, it just reminds us that God is sovereign over every single place. He says, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." We can rest during this season, during this time, in the nearness of God. What I want to do right now is I just want to lead you in a time of response to the Word of God. So I just want to invite you for just these next few moments, just to close your eyes. Just to close your eyes. And I just want to ask you this question. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Why do you need him to be your Lord? The Bible says this, that you and I, that we are dead in our sin apart from Jesus Christ. That we cannot have our sin forgiven apart from Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, that the wages of our sin is death. In other words, what we deserve because of our sin is separation from God. But the only way that we can get to God is through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The only way that we can have our sin forgiven is through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But the Bible says this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this morning, if you've never done that, if you have never called on the name of Jesus Christ to save you from the penalty of your sin, you can do that this morning, right from your couch, right from your phone, right from your table, or wherever you are watching. So I just want to encourage you right now that if you have never given your life to Jesus, I just want to encourage you to call on him right now in faith and to submit your life to him. Recognize that you are a sinner and you are in need of a Savior, and call on him right now to save you from the penalty of your sin. The Bible says this, and in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sin and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. So you confess that you are a sinner and you are in need of a Savior, and you call out to Jesus in faith to save you from the penalty of your sin. And then from this point forward, commit your life to follow him the best that you know how. Would you do that right now? And lastly, with your head bowed and just your eyes closed in this moment, I just want to remind you that God is omniscient. He is intimately aware of every single detail of your life. He knows what you're facing. He knows exactly what's going on. He sees this pandemic. He sees the coronavirus. He understands what we are facing. Could you just be reminded of that this morning? Again, God is omnipresent. He's with you this morning, whether you feel him or not. Just be reminded of that. He is with you right now. He's going to be with you tomorrow. He'll be with you next week. He'll be with you next month. He'll be with you in the next 6 months. He is with you. And lastly, be reminded that our God is all powerful. Nothing is above him. Nothing is beyond him. He is above the coronavirus. He is above anything that you are facing. He is above it. He sees it all. He is all powerful. And God, we come before your throne this morning. We just say thank you so much for these amazing truths that we see in your word. While we do not understand everything, we understand, God, that you are sovereign over all. You are in absolute control. You are in absolute charge. And God, we thank you, say thank you so much for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, who lived a perfect and sinless life and died on a cross for our sin and was resurrected from the grave 3 days later. And by him doing that, we now have access to God. By him doing that, we have access to the Holy Spirit of God who is living inside of us whenever we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thank you so much for giving us Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. God, thank you so much for the fact that you are omniscient, that you are intimately aware of every single detail of our lives. God, thank you so much for the fact that you are omnipresent, you are constantly with us. God, thank you so much for the fact that you are omnipotent. God, you are all powerful. God, we love you. We love you. We love you. Be with us during this time and use us, the church, for the glory of your name and for the advancement of the gospel. We love you, Father. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Again, thank you so much for spending your time with us here this morning. Again, by way of reminder, we will not have any activities at the church this week. We will, of course, be back here on this page next Sunday at 10:45 a.m. And in the meantime, if you need anything at all, please let us know. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm praying for each one of you. And I cannot wait until the day whenever we are able to gather back together as the church assembled again. Love you guys. Praying for you. See you very soon. God bless. Bye-bye.